Good morning. Anybody on a sugar high? Anybody want a sugar high? I got a tub of candy. I was going to throw some, but I think some parents might not appreciate that. You know what's interesting? What I found, you know, I don't know about you, but I am a sugar fiend. Anybody else? I found out that we probably eat about 160 some odd pounds of sugar a year. That's the average. And this is probably where it's not good to be above average. But I am probably above average. But the problem is, you ever see those commercials on TV? This is your brain on drugs. Anybody ever see that? You know, they're frying an egg and all. Anybody ever see that commercial? They say that's the same thing with candy now. That sugar affects our memory, that sugar affects our brain, that sugar affects our learning, that sugar affects our depression. I was reading some articles this week on the power of sugar, and my wife always yells because I eat candy, and I enjoy candy. So no, I'm not going to throw any candy. I'm sorry, all those over there. I don't want to whack your minds. But we are talking about our mind. We are, you know, we're in this series right now on life's healing choices. We've been talking about our mind and how broken we are, all right? That every one of us is broken. Isn't it fun you come to church, the preacher whacked, okay? Isn't that fun to go to church? You know, you come to church, the preacher says you're messed up, you know? We are all broken. We're all messed up. And we've been talking about that from the perspective of how do we get well? How do we deal with life? How do I deal with anxiety? How do I deal with depression? How do I deal with the stress of finances? How do I deal with broken relationships? How do I deal with my past? How do I deal with my addictions? How do I deal with that mental health in my life? How do I deal with stress? How do we go through that? And what we've been looking at is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. His message there is he sat down, he taught the disciples, and a crowd had gathered around this mountain. And Jesus laid out, and we call the Sermon on the Mount. He covers a lot of things. You can look in your Bible. It's Matthew chapter 5 through about 7. And you can find it, read there. And we've been talking about the Beatitudes. And so we're on number 5 right now, those Beatitudes. Because really what Jesus is saying is, listen, if you live well, here's what you do. If you want to be healthy in your mind, in your heart, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, here are some things to do. And that's kind of been my goal with this message. I wrote down 5 things to me that as I was liking about all this series here that I'm really hoping to drive out of this series. First of all, I said, I want everybody to realize we all have dignity. Everybody deserves dignity. It doesn't matter what your history is. It doesn't matter where your past has taken you. It doesn't matter what battles you're in the midst of fighting. That every one of us has dignity. But also, I want everybody to realize everybody's broken. If you're here this morning and you don't think you're broken, you got a problem. You're broken. All right? We all have issues. We all have something going on. It's different for all of us. You know. But here's what we think. I don't know about you, but this is the way we think about it. Well, mine's not as bad as, right? You know, I got a broken pinky. You got a broken leg. I say, I'm not as bad as, you know. But we all have issues we wrestle with in life. We all have a past. We all have hurts. We all have wounds. You know, we all have these things, and we're all broken. But we all have dignity. I wrote also that we need to understand that we're deeply loved and valued. I want you walking out of here understanding that you matter to God, that God loves you, even though you're broken, even though we're all messed up, even though we turn a deaf ear to God sometimes, God still loves us and cares about us and values us, is what I want in this message. I want us to come. And I also want you to understand you're not going to get well on your own. Because if you could get well on your own, you'd be well already. You need a community. You need people around. You need somebody in your life that can help you walk through and help you become complete in who God has designed you to be. And the reality is, this is going to be the hard one, is you'll never be okay till you get to heaven. Okay? That's when everything gets fixed. When you get to heaven, you're going to be perfect. Everything's fixed. Everything's well. Those are kind of the 5 things I want to draw out. And this morning, we're on number 5 of those Beatitudes. It's there in your outline. So I want to encourage you to get it out. And he said it this way, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, I don't know about you, but I get up hungry every morning. Anybody else get up hungry? I enjoy breakfast. Matter of fact, I bought a big bag of cake mix, pancake mix, and I've been making pancakes in the morning now. You know, or Laura get up and scramble some eggs, throw some ham, make a burrito. I like eating. Anybody else like eating? You know, I have a habit. I eat two or three times at least a day. All right? We have that physical desire for food. And what Jesus is saying here is, if you're going to be well in life, if you're going to function well in life, you need to have a spiritual desire for righteousness. Now, I want to make sure you understand something. We all have a spiritual desire for something. All right? People pursue spiritually, pursuing something spiritually. There's a desire in us spiritually. We fill that desire with something. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be a history. It could be something else. We're going to fill that spiritual desire with something. And Jesus says, it needs to be righteousness. You need to feed your soul. You need to feed your Bible. If you're going to be well in life and you're going to function well in life, you need to take care of yourself spiritually by feeding on righteousness. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. I want to say, how do I feed myself? And so I'm going to look at kind of like five phases of we go through. And it's going to kind of put this picture together, what we've been talking about so far. So if this is your first time, you're blessed. You're going to get a summary of four messages, all right? So instead of being here for 4 hours, you get an hour, you get four messages, all right? Plus today's. So you're getting five for the price of one. And so we're going to look at five things that kind of put this picture together for us. And to do that, I want to look at a guy in the Old Testament named Jacob. Okay. Now, if you look in the Bible, you go back in the book, the very first book in the Bible, it's the history of Israel, the foundation of the nation of Israel. And if you read that, if you restart reading there in Genesis, you read the creation, you come down to about chapters 30, you get into a guy named Jacob. His grandfather was Abraham, the father of the Hebrew people. The God called him out. You can read that in Genesis 12. And you keep reading, his dad was Isaac. And then you come to a guy named Jacob. He's a twin. And this is going to play really. This is going to play into this picture of who this Jacob is. Now, Jacob is a twin. He's born second. Now, in their culture, the firstborn is number one, which I think should fit today, right? Firstborn is the best. Anybody? Come on. All right. I got some amens out there. All right. Firstborn's the best. You know, but the problem is Jacob wasn't lined up to be first. You know, there's just one channel to go through to get here, right? You know, you're only going to get that. So somebody had to go first, and it wasn't Jacob's son. But he wasn't letting Esau off easy because he had him by the heel trying to pull him back in, okay? You know, you can read that. You can read that story there. He has this battle. Jacob has this struggle going on in his life. And he has this battle in. And his name is really important. You know, when they named kids back then, sometimes they would wait a week. They'd wait to name a child because that name reflected something about that child. It reflected their character. It reflected who that child was. And so when Jacob was born, he was clinging to his brother's heel, so they named him Jacob. Duh. That was an easy one to figure out. But Jacob means supplanter. He's trying to replace his brother. It means deceiver. It means cheater. And that's what they named. Now, I'm going to ask you, when you have a child, you know, and the child gets to be about a year, 2 years, 3 years old, you kind of know what their personality is, don't you? That one's going to be rough, right? Anybody have one of those rough ones? You know? They name him, and so he's named Jacob, and he's going to play into his name. They really named him well, okay? So we're going to be looking at Jacob and kind of see this picture of how God walks us through life when we're dealing with our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups. How does God walk us through when we have those struggles with a past and a history, when we have those struggles maybe with an addiction, or we got a struggle with a hurt or a wound, we got a struggle with depression, or we got a financial issue, or whatever it may be. How do we walk through that, a broken relationship? And so I'm going to walk through Jacob's life and kind of look at how God does that with five steps here. So you got your outline. Let me fill in that first blank. It says, conflict leads to the reality choice. Conflict leads to the reality choice. We all struggle with something. Every one of us has a battle we fight. All right? I have made no bones about it as your pastor. I tell you, my battle is when I get behind a steering wheel of a car. Anybody on board with that? Okay, that is a battle for me. Patience is not there. Pride is in the way. Anger pops up. Moron drivers out there, right? You know, And we have a battle. Now, that you know, my wife gets mad because we're driving. I can't even get down Salida Boulevard and turn on Palindale without yelling at a driver. And I don't want to go with you. You're going to be like that. Anybody? Come on now. You know? But we all have something. Something that pushes up. We know. We all wrestle with something. And it's a conflict within us. It may be a person. It may be a past. It may be a habit. It may be a hurt. It may be a situation. It may be a name that pops. Remember, when I say that, you got some of you got to, oh, that's so-and-so. You got a name right in your head. We have, and there's a conflict going on. And that conflict goes to this way. You know what? I really don't like being that way. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? I don't like being that way. I don't like getting in the car and getting aggravated with somebody else. Anybody have that conflict with that habit? Anybody? You wrestle with that? You don't want to be that way? You don't like that part of you? There's this conflict going on inside of you. There's this struggle going on inside of you. And you're wrestling with this struggle. And so you got this conflict. I wish I didn't. Why do I always? How can I change? Why is it me? And we wrestle with these things going on in our lives. And this was Jacob, okay? Here's Jacob, this young man, growing up in his house, number two born. His big brother gets everything because he's number one. He's the first. And so Jacob's kind of, you know, hey, I got to work this out. And mom gets on his side, and he steals his brother's birthright. All right? You know, then he steals his brother's inheritance. All right? And he manipulates, and he tricks his father, and he plays these games. And he creates a situation in his life. And so he can't stay there, and he has to leave. So he runs away. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Anybody here ever run away from your problem? Anybody ever try to hide from your problem? You got this conflict going on. And how about you know it's there, but you're going to ignore it? You know, a desire, a panic attack, a situation, you're just going to run. So Jacob runs away. But the problem is when he run away, he goes to live and goes over to this other country, and he falls in love with a young lady. And he wants to marry her, but he has no dowry. He can't marry her. So he talks to the father, and the father of the bride says, well, listen, if you work for me for 7 years, I'll let you marry my daughter. He goes, all right. So he goes to work for his father-in-law. Well, his father-in-law is just as deceptive as he is. All right? So his father-in-law says, yeah, you work for me 7 years. 7 years. He goes on his honeymoon. It's the wrong woman. Now, I tell you, if you go on a honeymoon with the wrong woman, you're in trouble, okay? All right? So he goes on this honeymoon, and his father-in-law tricked him. Well, you got to marry my oldest daughter first. See, first or best. You got to marry my oldest daughter first. You know, so he still wants the younger daughter. So the father-in-law says, well, you hang around 7 years, and you can get my second one. You know, he can't be too bright. So he hangs around and hangs around 7 years, and he marries a second wife. All right? So now he's married to her, and now he needs some to start his business going. His father-in-law says, well, you hang around and I'll help you get started. You can have all my spotted sheep. You know? And so they play this deceptive game. He figures a way to make the sheep always give birth to spotted sheep. You know, and he plays all the, you know, he's playing all this deceptive game going on. All right? But now his brother-in-laws get wise to what's going on. So now their inheritance is walking out the door with Jacob, who's got the two daughters, and now they're getting upset. Here's what it says. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, now Laban is his father-in-law, Jacob was taking everything our father owned and has gained all his wealth from what belonged to our father. And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. So now he's got his deceiving, lying, cheating self in trouble again. All right, you see this picture? You know, I'm going to tell you, you run from them. You got a problem when you run from your problems. Does it make sense? You got a problem when you run from your problems because guess what? You're the problem. You're the one with the problem. You're taking it with you. You know, I always tell people, you know, it's always greener on the other side, but guess what? Somebody's watering over there. And so now Jacob's created this situation in his life. He's got conflict with his brother. He's got conflict with his home right now. What does he do? Where can he go? What's going on? And he's got all this stuff going on. And he's trying to figure out what to do. So he just says, I got to leave. Got to run again. Anybody want to run from your problems? He's going to run again. Now, where do you run? All right. You left there. You ran over here. You messed up over here. Now you got to go somewhere. Anybody mess up? You got to go somewhere else. So he decides, I'm going to go home. So he's got to figure out how he's going to go home and face his brother where he stole the birthright, where he stole the fence, and he ran off with everything that dad had. Now how's he going to go home and make it right with his brothers? So he starts going home. Anybody been in a rock and a hard place? Yeah. His brother in front of him. His father-in-law and brother-in-law is behind him. Boy, he's in a really good place. Anybody ever feel trapped by life? Yeah. You can't go forward, you can't go backwards, and it's just a mess. And the problem is, who created it? Because we're broken. So he's on this journey going back, and he goes, well, how can I go back? So he decides what he's going to do is he gathers up a bunch of stuff, sheep and herds, and sends them ahead. Okay, so your servants, take this to my brother and tell him I'm coming. I'm going to try to appease my brother, try to make it right with my brother. And so he sends all this stuff ahead, and they go back, and they come back with a report. Now look at the report. Look what they said when they came back. After delivering the messengers returned to Jacob and reported, we met your brother, Esau. He is already on his way to meet you with an army of 400 men. Jacob was terrified. I'd be terrified too at the news. He divided his household along with the flocks and herds and camels into two groups. He's in this place right here. He can't go forward because there's brothers with 400 men because of all the jacked up stuff. He can't go back because of all the jacked up stuff that's gone on back there. And he's sitting here between a rock and a hard. Anybody feel your life like that right now? You know, you can't go forward because you got a past and you got hurts, you got wounds. You know, you can't go backwards because you don't want to deal with all of that. And you're just sitting there trapped. And you can't do anything. And he's saying, what does he do? How's he going to deal with this? Kind of paint you a picture. What he does is he divides his family up. It says he divided them up in a couple of groups. And he sent one group off first. Then he waited a little while and he sent the second group off. And he stayed on the other side of the river. Sacrificed my family. I don't know. This guy, you know. Go ahead, you know. I'm going to stay over here. You guys go on and let's see what happens. And so he stays on this side of the river. He's trapped. There's no turn. Anybody feel that in your life? You're just kind of pinned in. You're just kind of hemmed in. You can't move forward. Maybe there's a pass and you can't go back because there's nothing back there for you. And you're just stuck. And here's what it says. Now this is probably what many of us would do. Then Jacob prayed. That's what we do, right? When nothing else works, let's pray. Right? After we tried anything else, we'll go to God after I figured it all out, right? That's the wrong way to do it, okay? You need to pray first. But Jacob waited. You know, I can handle it. It's my problem. It's my situation. I'll figure this out. I'll fix this. I'll make it right. I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody telling me. I don't need God. I just leave me alone. But Jacob finally realized it's time to pray. Oh God of my grandfather Abraham and the God of my father Isaac. Oh Lord, you told me. Now listen, you told me, God, return to your own land and to your relatives, and you promised me I will treat you kindly. I'm not worthy of all the unfailing love. Why don't you write through that, circle that word, not worthy? And unfailing love. And faithfulness. You have shown me, your servant. Then I left the home and crossed the Jordan River. I owned everything except a walking stick. I owned everything except a walking stick. Now my household fills two large camps, O Lord. Please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau. I'm afraid that he is coming to attack me, along with his wife, along with my wives and children. But you promised me I will surely treat you kindly, and I will multiply your descendants until they become as numerous as the along the seashore, too many to count. He's sitting there saying, listen, God, I can't fix this. I can't do this. I'm broken. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve who you are. I am unworthy, but you have made me worthy, God. He's saying this. And that's that first reality choice. Remember the reality choice? It's on that other side of the page there. It's that first reality choice. Realize I'm not God. Admit I'm powerless to control tendencies to do the wrong thing and to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. See, Jacob reached that point now. God, I'm a mess, and I can't fix this. I'm between a rock and a hard place, and there's nothing I can do. I can't change this situation. See, we're all broken. We all have an issue, and there's something in your life you wish you can change. Am I right? I don't think any of us go through without saying, well, I just like the way I am. I think all of us would say, I wish I could be better. I wish when I got behind the steering wheel, I wouldn't get so aggravated. I do, and I pray that. You know, I wish I wouldn't let people make me angry. See, isn't that a good excuse? They make me angry. No, who made me angry? Gary gets angry, not they make me. I got to own it. That's what I'm talking about. Jacob is owning this. Jacob is wrestling with this. He's sitting on this other side of the river, and he finally realizes the reality choice is, I'm not God, and I can't fix my life. I can't make everything right. Those hurts, those habits, those hang-ups, those addictions, those struggles, those battles, that depression, that anxiety, that stress, whatever it is, I can't fix. I can't do this. Jacob realizes that. And so that's that first choice. You have to make a choice. I'm broken and I can't fix myself. Is that okay? It says here in the first beatitude, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God, I need you. I'm in a conflict, God, and it doesn't work. But most of us doesn't stop there. Most of us have to go to this next step and put the word crisis down. See, most of us don't want to change until there's a crisis, right? If I just got some conflict, I can deal with the conflict. You know, I can just ignore it. I can put it, but all of a sudden, there's a crisis. And that's where Jacob is right now. He's at a crisis point. He's on the side of the river. His brother's over there. His father-in-law and brother-in-laws are over there, and they're coming there. He's got a crisis. He's got a situation. Anybody in a situation in your life right now? Yeah. You've moved from a little conflict to man, there's a situation. And now there is a crisis, and what am I going to do? So crisis leads to the choice of hope. And here's what it says. Listen to how he did this right here. This left Jacob all alone in a camp, and a man. Now, I put this little print. This is my, that is God, so you know that's God, okay? Came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man, that is God, saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Now, I want to give you a picture here. Jacob started praying. God shows up. He starts wrestling with God. Now, here's the wrestle match. Am I going to do it my way or God's way? That's the wrestling match you have to face. No. I'm going to live life my way. I'm going to do what I want. You know, you go to Burger King and get it your way, right? You know, that's, we live, you know, and you got to make that choice. And that's what Jacob is wrestling. Anybody ever wrestle with God over a decision? Anybody? What do I do? How do I do? Where should I go? Should I forgive this person? How do I forgive this? Anybody wrestle with God with things like that? You know, how do I deal with this hurt? How do I deal with this wound? How do I deal with this habit? God, how do I deal with this addiction? And then you got to deal with it. Am I going to do it God's way or my way? Well, I can handle it. How many times have you tried to handle something that you thought you could handle and been blown out of the water? Anybody? I've got this. Next thing I know, man, I'm in trouble. And this is what Jacob, he's wrestling all night with God. God, how do we deal with this? What am I going to do? You know, I'm in this crisis. I'm going to ask you, what's the crisis in your life right now? Where is the crisis in you? Are you willing to wrestle with God and say, okay, God, I'm done wrestling with you. It's your way. Because, you know, I read that passage and it said they wrestled until dawn. You know, they wrestled all night. Anybody have sleepless nights? Anybody got a problem? You don't sleep. Anybody got a situation? Anybody got a crisis? Anybody, you got a conflict and you haven't slept because you got a conflict? He wrestled with God all night long. Now I want to ask you a question. Could God have won? Could God have put him down? I mean, could God have just taken his little pinky and said, it's over? Yeah. God could have won, but God, he wrestled with God all night long. Because he was wrestling not with God. He's wrestling with, am I going to do it my way? How am I going to deal with this situation? What am I going to do? How do I deal with life? I'm going to live life my way and forget the consequences. Anybody doing that one? How's that working? You know, we go through life and we wrestle with all this. And God could, because what do you want? I'm going to tell you, in a wrestling match, you watch wrestling, what do you want the other guy to do? You want the other guy to give up. Right? What's interesting here for me is God saying, I'm not giving up on you. I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to let you wrestle with me. If you're going to wrestle with me, I'm going to tell you something. Let me give you a little hint. God will wrestle with you until you give up. It's that simple. It's dawn and they've been wrestling all night long and it's time to give up. It's time to let go. You know? And that's what I want to tell you. You got to let go and let God. Does that sound okay? This is where Jacob is. He's in a crisis. There's his brother. There's his father-in-law and brother-in-law. And they're all coming. And he's sitting there trapped. Anybody feel trapped in life? Anxiety? Stress? Frustration? Financial? Relationship? A past? A hurt? A wound? You know, you feel trapped. And God's saying, just let go. Let me have it. You know, that's that hope choice. Look at what it says. He's wrestling with God. Look at what it says. Even in the womb, Jacob struggled with his brother. Struggled with his brother. When he became a man, he even fought with God. Is anybody here fighting with God today? Don't raise your hand. But I want you to think about that. You know, in your life and what you're going through and where you find yourself today, are you fighting with God? He'll wrestle with you. He could take you to the mat anytime. But he wants you to surrender. He wants you to look to him. And you're in this crisis, and he's wanting you to make that decision. And he does it all night because, let me tell you something, you didn't get in this place overnight, right? It took you a little time to get here. You know, just so you know, it took me 64 years to mess my life up. Anybody else? You know, decisions and regrets, consequences, and you know, and we just go on, and it doesn't kill overnight. And what God is saying, are you going to trust me? That's what he's asking Jacob. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to obey me and do it my way? Are you going to change? And see, this is his hope choice, and there it is again. Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has power to help me change. See, Jacob wrestled with God. God, I find not worthy, but you made me worthy. I'm wrestling with you, and I'm going to surrender to you, and you're my hope, and you're my choice. And so we have the reality choice is I'm messed up, and I can't fix myself. The hope choice is I matter to God, and God can fix me. Is that okay? And I just got to let God do it. The third choice, and we're going to look at that one, the commitment leads me to the commitment choice. All right? Look at what it is. Then the man, that is God, let me go. For the dawn said, then the man, that is God, said, let me go, for dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. God, I've wrestled with you, and I want your blessing. I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Is that okay? God, I'm tired of pursuing my wants, my desires. I'm tired of fighting my own battles. I'm tired of doing things the way I want. I'm tired of living in the past. I'm tired of dealing with my father-in-law and brother. I'm tired of dealing with my brother, God. It's all yours, God. It's yours. Now bless me. Anybody want a blessing like that? You know, God, I'm just going to give you my life, God, and you just take it and bless me. Because that's what God wants to do. Because I'm going to tell you, as long as you're in control of life, you're going to crash and burn with no help. Okay? But with God walking with you, it makes a difference. He's there. And this is what Jacob is saying. Let me be blessed. You got to make that decision. Nobody can make that decision for you. You will never get well until you decide, I am broken. I can't fix myself. I matter to God, and God can fix me if I let him. You got to reach that, and you got to make a commitment to it. You can't waffle. You can't meddle here or there. Do a little bit here, do a little bit there, and we'll just see if it works. Anybody just kind of play around with life and try to figure out how it works? You know, well, if I do a little bit over here and a little bit over here, we'll see what happens. Anybody? How well does that work? You know? And so we need to understand that we got to let it all out with God. That's what Jacob is saying here. You know, God, I'm all laying it on you. Nothing's going to change until I all lay it on you, God. And that's a commitment choice. Listen, to consciously choose to commit all my life, why don't you circle that word all my life and will to Christ's care and control. God, I'm going to give you all my anxiety. God, I'm going to give you all my depression. God, I'm going to give you all my hurts. I'm going to give you all my wounds. I'm going to give you all my habits, bad habits, all my addiction. I'm going to give you my marriage, God. I'm going to give you my family, God. I'm giving you everything. That's what Jacob is saying. I have to make that decision. You did well, God, I'm going to give you all but this little over here. I'll hang on to a little bit. It doesn't work. That one little bit will spin out of control and bring everything else a mess. Am I right? And so we need to see this in our life. We need to step back and see this. We need to own it and then let God have it and let God work. And that brings us to the fourth thing, and I put it, confession leads to house cleaning choice. You got to get to the point where I'm the problem. I'm the one with the issues. I'm the one with the struggle. I'm broken. And here it is. And you just lay it out with God. Listen to what it says here. The man, that is God, asked him, what is your name? Jacob answered. What is your name? Jacob. He answered. What God wanted was this. Jacob, what's your name? My name is Deceiver. My name is Cheater. That's what Jacob is saying. I am owning my life. I put myself in this situation. It's my fault my brother's there. It's my fault my father-in-law and brother-in-law are there. I have this problem. It's my fault. I own it, God, and I'm confessing it to you. We've got to confess. You will never be whole until you confess. Until you own those things in your life, you'll never deal with them. You'll never overcome them. See, God is there. And I want to make sure you get a picture here. It's not the first time God does. See, God wants to, he comes to Moses, and Moses is saying, okay, God, you're going to deliver the people of Israel. How are we going to do it? And he says, well, what's in your hand? I got a stick. What good's a stick against the Egyptian army, right? I'm going to go fight the Egyptians. I got a stick. Let's go fight Egypts. I got a stick. Come follow me. We're going to go attack the Egyptians. I got a stick. Throw the stick down, Moses. And what happened? God changed that stick to a snake. See, God can change your lives when you put it in God's hands. See, that's what he's telling Jacob. Jacob, put your life in my hands, and I can change you from a deceiver. I can change you from a cheater. I can change you from those habits. I can change those hurts. I can change those wounds. I can change your life. So what he's telling Jacob, to put it in my hands and let me change you. And so I call that the house cleaning choice. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Now, we dealt with this last week. I'm not going to dwell here long because I don't have mine, but I want to make sure you know, you got to have somebody you're walking with in life. Remember, we talked about this. I say this from this pulpit, I don't have a pulpit, I guess from the stage, let's say it that way. You know, I say this every week. You need a church, you need a small group, and you need someone who can tell you the hard things in your life that you don't want to hear. You got to have somebody who can look you in the eye. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, besides your spouse, because you don't listen to your spouse anyway, right? You know, you got to have somebody besides your spouse that can look you in the face and say, being a jerk. You know, you got to have those people in your life. I got a lot of people like that, okay? Amen. Yep, yep. They're going to tell me what's right and what's wrong. And just so you know, I need it. Because, you know, just so you know, Gary gets a lot of bright ideas. Problem is, Gary's not that bright. All right? But you need that in your life. And so we need to have that house cleaning. Who are you walking with? Who are you journeying with? You're not going to get well on your own. You need God and you need somebody walking. You need somebody helping you walk through and navigate those things in your life. Who's going to help you navigate that past? Those hurts, that abuse. Who's going to help you navigate those future things out there that you really don't know which way you should be going? Who's going to walk with you through that addiction when you go over and you slide back and you go over and you slide back? And I'm going to say I've walked with people through addictions and just stop that. They stop it, conquer it for a month, conquer it for 6 months, and then they're back to it. Anybody, you got to walk with them again and you got to walk with them again. That's what this is talking about. We got to be there. You know, but you got to have somebody, and so you got to have that house cleaning. You got to clean that house out. And that's what Jacob was doing here. And then the last one I put here is the conversion. This is when transformation takes place. This is when everything changed. This is what it says. Then the man, that is God, said, "Your name is no longer deceiver, liar, cheater, but Israel. Because you have struggled with God and you have, and with humans, and have overcome." He said, you've moved past your name. You are no longer that. You are no longer who you were. When you walk with God, your life is changed. Not only is your life changed, but you are changed. Your identity's changed. Your choices changed. You're a different person. I am not the person I was. I'm a new person. And what's so fun for me is God's not done. I'm still changing. I don't know about you guys. I'm still changing. You know, I'm not who I was a year ago. I'm not who I was 5 years ago. And I'm not who I'm going to be next year. Because God's not done. And I'm sure glad he's not, because I'm still messed up. And he hasn't given up. There's dignity and there's brokenness and there's that love and that value that we have. You see the picture God is painting for us here through Jacob? You know, he gave him a new name. He's changed. Look at what I found in Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has, the old is gone, the new is here. You're a new person. You're not that same person. You're different. And you've walked through this. But it doesn't happen overnight. And there's a process. You know, you're going to have that conflict. You're going to have that crisis. You're going to have that time of confession. Yeah. You're going to have that time when you clean your house and you let it all out. And then you finally can get to this conversion part where life is different. I look at my life and I think about this. You know, both my brothers are dead. One committed suicide at 39. One, because of alcohol and ex-Oxycontin, died at 59. And I'm alive. Why? You know, I used to think because Gary worked hard. I pulled up my bootstraps and I went to work. Anybody, you know. But you know what I realized? Is at 17, I made a decision with God that made the rest of it possible. If I hadn't made that decision, I don't care how far I pulled up my boots, it wasn't going to work. Because pride says, I did this. Look at what I did. Kid barely gets out of high school. He's got a doctor's degree. Look what I accomplished. Wait a minute. I didn't do that. God changed me at 17 and put me on a different path. I look at that. My heart breaks for my brothers and the family, and it hurts. But at 17, I made a decision that changed everything. So I want to ask you, where are you? You know, are you in the midst of a conflict? Are you in the midst of a crisis? Jacob got a new name. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. He blessed Jacob. And here's this beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. When you pursue God, everything else falls in place. Doesn't mean it's all going to be perfect. I've had a lot of issues, and I still got issues. And some of you have been with me. You know, problems, situations, heartaches, joys, wounds, hurt, habits. You know, we all battle these things in our life. But God changes that with a new identity. I think this is the greatest challenge we face today in our world. People get their identity from their sex. They get their identity from their jobs. They get their identity from their marriage or from their spouse, or they get it from some degree, or they get it. People get their identity from something. But I want to tell you something. Identity doesn't come from something or someplace or somewhere. It comes from God. All right? And that's what this is all about. And you're not going to get well. You're all broken. You're all messed up. We all are. It's just different. Fortunately, mine's just a broken pinky. You all got broken legs, okay? You know, that's how we like to act. My problems aren't as bad as theirs. You know, yeah, I'm messed up, but they're more messed up than me. You know, it doesn't matter what mess up. You're all messed up, messed up. But God wants us to fix it. God wants us to change. He wants us to give us a better life. I think you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what he said to do. And so we want a transformation. And here's what it says there. Voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my character defects. That's what God's after. So here, I'm going to leave Jacob's life. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Guess what? Jacob's still broken. He's fixed, but still broken. I'm fixed, but still broken. Anybody okay? I want us to say this. We started it last week, and I was talking this week, and I think I'm going to put it in your bulletin next, okay? Give you a little blank to fill in. I want us to say this, because I really think this is the essence of what I see God wanting us to do. You know what? My name is Gary, and I'm a child of God. But I struggle with, I'm not going to tell you why, that you guys figure it out. You guys can probably fill in the blank for me. All right? But I want all of us to realize that. I want you to know, you know, you're not that problem. You're not whatever sexual identity you want to claim. You're not whatever issue you have. You know, well, I'm a depressed person. Well, I have anxiety. Well, I don't care all about that. You are a child of God. Is that okay? You know? But I struggle with. So I want us to do that. We're all going to sound different. All right? You guys are just kind of sitting there. You're going to have to pay attention. I want you to say, I am, my name, a child of God. Who struggles with, you have to fill the blank in. You can say it in yourself. You want to say it out loud. I want to. You know? That you can just tell God. Are you guys ready? All right. My name is Gary. I'm a child of God, and I struggle with. You guys, I didn't hear enough. I want to hear you guys, okay? I want you guys, if you believe this, would you say it loud with me? If you really believe you are a child of God, would you say it loudly? Are you guys ready? My name is Gary. I'm a child of God, and I struggle with. I want to end with that. Does that sound okay? All right. Pardon? You want to do it again? All right, we're going to do it again. You guys ready? My name is Gary. I'm a child of God, and I struggle with, you guys can put whatever you want in there. You know, I'm going to put anger and pride and I don't know what else I need to put in there. But I want you to know that. Because here's the end I wrote. I always put this verse at the end because this is what I want. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Anybody want that? So I'm going to ask you this morning, where are you? Here's these five stages right here. Where are you? Are you, where's your conflict? Don't walk out here saying, I don't have a problem. Well, not problem's a problem. God wants to be a part of your life. Will you surrender to him? Will you make that commitment? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Are you going to sit on the side of this riverbank and wrestle with God? Okay? You're going to sit there. I don't know what's coming at you. You know, is it, you know, a hurt, a hang up? Is there something coming at you? You know, that brother Esau's coming. Back there, you know, your father-in-law, your brothers-in-laws are all, you know, you got something coming back there. You got an addiction. You got to start. Conflict, crisis, confession, conversion. You got to make a decision. I'm a child of God that I struggle with. Pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you do love us. In spite of our flaws, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our rebellion. Lord, I know myself, I'll look you right in the eye and say, I'm going here, and just blow you off. Lord, help me surrender to you, to walk with you, to be with you. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you, what stage are you at right now? Is there a conflict in your life? You know, you're looking at your life and there's something you're battling. I wish I didn't. I wish I could. Why did this happen? Is there a crisis? I mean, you're about ready to get swallowed up? Are you willing to make a commitment? Is there something to confess? So I want to ask you this. If you're willing to say, I'm going to stop running, would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up and say, I'm not going to run anymore. Would you pray for me? Shoot your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these who acknowledge they're done running. They're done hiding and ignoring and pretending and putting a face mask on. And they're just surrendering anew and afresh to you. Would you just pray that to God? God, just surrender to you. Whatever it is, God, I lay it in your hands. You take that. Cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. Lord, create in me a new heart. Lord, make me a new man, a new woman. Lord, I ask you to bless these just as you blessed Jacob. I ask you to bless them from above. Let them prosper. Let them find peace. Let them find hope. And a God who loves them deeply and values them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.